Welcome, everyone, to the FC Cincy Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Brennan, joined today in a few minutes by FC Cincinnati stud midfielder Jimmy McLaughlin. We have our audience of two. It's a special tradition here, on the podcast to compete against some of the biggest events in Cincinnati history. Last week it was the streetcar opening. Tonight it's Oktoberfest. Back in July, we went up against Crystal Palace Open Training. So we have a small but stout and hearty crowd here with us tonight. And we're so glad that you're here with us. We are on the eve of FC Cincinnati's home finale. They go into the game 14-6-8 on the year, on 50 points. I know in the preseason I predicted they would be somewhere in the 13-win range. And that was within the context of Rochester last year being the number one seed with 16 wins. So I didn't quite nail the number on the head, but I think the context, effectively, we were in the right position. The expectations were high. I wasn't always sure if any expansion team in this league could meet them. FC Cincinnati has met them with flying colors. No one is better positioned to talk about this than our guest tonight, midfielder Jimmy McLaughlin. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
How you doing? Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Jimmy, there's a lot to get to tonight. We might be on the it is the home finale tomorrow, as I mentioned. Another record crowd possibly in the works for tomorrow. But most importantly, we really need to, as a kind of a community watchdog at the Inquirer, we need to pick your brain about the most important thing that's happening this weekend, which is you serving as one of the grand marshals for Oktoberfest, Cincinnati. It's a massive responsibility. You know, people that have done this in the past include Weird Al. That's kind of what you're working against. Yeah, there you go. That's a big one. Chad Ochocinco. Yeah. Jason, our producer / sports editor, chiming in with some of the hosts. Jimmy, want to get your thoughts on, as an outsider, you and I are both from Philadelphia. I think we'll have some fun with that tonight. But as a Philadelphian coming into the Oktoberfest experience, what do you think? It's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, super cool. I mean, I've heard a lot about it. I hear how it's the second biggest Oktoberfest in the world after Munich, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited. I'm excited to check it out. We did a little chicken dance practice after practice today, so we've been working on it. I mean, we all have some skills with the dance moves, myself included. So, yeah, we're excited to have this honor of being the grand marshal for the chicken dance.
You are noted for your dancing ability. It's something you've displayed on the field a couple times this year. Where did you guys find – you found that video of John Hark's ridiculous dance from back in the 90s. Who dug that up? And then what was kind of – I know you did it at Harrisburg, I think. Yeah. Talk about that a little bit. It was a fun, lighthearted moment. Fans enjoy that stuff. I thought it was kind of funny. Talk about where the video came from and what made you want to pick up John Hark's horrendous dance moves.
Yeah, I don't know exactly who found it originally, but I know that I think someone might have sent it to Tyler Polak, or somehow he had gotten a sniff of this video, and the rumors kind of went around that there might be this music video of John Hark's doing these ridiculous dance moves. And one day, like before our scouting video, or after the scouting video, our assistant coach, Ryan Martin, who runs the video sessions, he said, we got one more thing to look at, and we're all thinking it's going to be serious. And then he puts on this ridiculous music video of the 90, I guess it was the 90 World Cup team. We had no idea what was going on, and Hark said no idea either. And next thing we know, we see the gaffer pulling out those ridiculous moves and completely embarrassing himself and the whole team. So we made some fun of him. He had a good laugh about it and got on Coach Martin a little bit about it. So I thought someone had to do it. I mean, when there's a dance like that out there, one of us had to replicate it, and I took it upon myself to do that.
He did it with great skill, didn't he, guys? All six of you. Come on, make some noise for the dance. Actually, that might have been the loudest moment in FC Cincy Beat Podcast fan history. Seriously, you guys think... God, we're so crap, aren't we? No, we have fun. Thank you guys for coming out. Really appreciate it. Before we go to our first break, I wanted to pick Jimmy's brain about the experience of playing for John Harkes. I personally have immensely enjoyed covering him. He has so much to offer. He has so many great stories and anecdotes from his time in the game. Forget, you know, kind of some of those highlight reel moments like the FA goal of the year. I get where he beat Peter Shilton with Chef Wednesday. The guy just has, I mean, he's kind of a legend in our midst, wouldn't you say, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely a U.S. soccer legend, and I mean, his playing career it speaks for himself and he's one of the best U.S. soccer players of all time. So he's an incredible guy to learn from. He's been a mentor and a role model for me and all the guys on the team, and we're just kind of trying to soak in all the knowledge we can from him and pick up little tidbits here and there. So he's done a great job of putting confidence in us and believing in us and in teaching us everything that he's learned along the way.
What would you say is his managerial style when he's working with you guys, whether it be as a group or as individuals? Is he doesn't strike me as heavy-handed, and in the practice, the training sessions that I've attended, you know, I've never seen him come down hard on anyone. Obviously, not all the training sessions are open, but how does he compare to other managers slash coaches you've had throughout your career, and how would you describe his style?
Yeah, I'd say he's like a real player's coach. He listens to the players, has a good relationship with all the players, and can kind of feel how we're doing, if we're tired, if we need to be pushed a little bit more, or have a little harder session one day than the other. He's really good at feeling that stuff out, and I think he's a really positive coach, and kind of makes things fun and positive throughout practice, and gets the best out of us. He also knows how to put the hammer down at times, and he knows the moments when he needs to interject and kind of fix things and put us in line a little bit. But for the most part, he makes it very fun and positive and lighthearted. So I think he does a really good job balancing between the two. And I mean, I personally love his style. I mean, I've had coaches who are the complete opposite, where it's completely serious all the time and mostly criticizing and ripping on players. And I don't really think that's the best way to do it. So I'd say Harkes has a really good balance between fixing and being stern when he needs to, and also keeping it fun and light at the same time.
I heard a reference in there to a coach at one of your former clubs. I think I know who you're talking about. It's another conversation for another podcast with Jimmy. We mentioned the Orlando City match tomorrow, happening about roughly 24 hours from now. It is the home finale. Right now, shaping up like there will be more home games in the playoffs, but you know, there's two more games that have to be played out, both here and elsewhere in the league, so we'll have to see how it shakes out. But so much of this past season was not anticipated correctly, whether it be by myself, other local media. It has just been so much bigger than we anticipated. I always come back to that, and it's so true, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. This has snowballed throughout the summer. I think you see the possibility of a third record attendance falling tomorrow for FC Cincinnati. It continues to snowball after, what, the season began March 30th. It's just incredible. Jimmy, I'd like to know from you, what were your expectations for the whole experience, you know, personally, professionally, on the field, off the field, and how's the experience lived up to what you expected coming in?
Yeah, I mean, I always knew the organization was going to be pretty legit when I first saw that they had gotten John Harkes to be the head coach, I guess, in August last year. So I remember kind of hearing that through the grapevine that John Harkes has taken over the team in Cincinnati. And I think initially right there, that just set a high standard for the team and everyone around the MLS and around the USL. And I think everyone knew that it was going to be an organization run very well, because to attract a coach and a U.S. soccer legend like him, you knew it was going to have to be run well. So I think initially there, I knew it was going to be a legit club. And when I started talking to them and having discussions in the offseason after my contract ended with Philadelphia, it just kind of kept getting better and better. And I was expecting a lot. I was not expecting anything close to what we've gotten. I think the support has been off the charts, and the fans have been absolutely unbelievable. And no one could have possibly expected that. So it's blown away my expectations, and I was already had pretty high expectations. So I think it's something really special here in Cincinnati, and we just want to keep it rolling and keep it going.
And keep it going, they just might. Tomorrow shaping up. A lot of work. I think we take for granted the fact that tomorrow is shaping up from a fans and a media perspective to be kind of a crowning moment on the season, right? They're going to put the rubber stamp on the USL single season attendance record, which they've held for months now. Tomorrow it'll go final. We'll know what the number is, and it will be celebrated for years to come, I'm sure. Something they'll shoot to break again next year, I'm sure. But there's a lot of work that has to go in from these guys. I think we take that for granted. And just because of the moment, it feels like the right opportunity to want to celebrate if you're a fan. These guys still have a lot of work to put in tomorrow to make it a celebration on the field. And that could look like celebrating wrapping up third place with a win tomorrow. I think that's all it'll take. And that would mean a home playoff game, at least one. And at that seed, I like the chances of maybe getting one, not in the next round, but maybe in subsequent rounds. So we'll see how that shakes out. Jimmy, what do you see when you look at Orlando City? Obviously, it's a different experience playing against. I mean, soccer is soccer, football is football, but it's a little bit of a different experience, especially at this time of year, probably playing against a USL MLS affiliate. What do you see from Orlando City on tape? What are you expecting from tomorrow?
Yeah, the MLS affiliates are always kind of interesting teams to scout because there's a lot of players moving back and forth between both teams, and Orlando in particular has had a lot of turnover with the first team coach being let go and them bringing in new players and whatnot. So I think there's going to be a lot of different faces out there than when we first played them very early on in the season. So, I mean, we've done our homework. We know what to expect. They're going to be a good team. I mean, they're fighting for a playoff position. They're going to push and give us everything that they got. So we're expecting them to come out and try to attack and try to play. And we're going to try to exploit their weaknesses and make sure we get the result and set in stone a home playoff game for FC Cincinnati.
How big is the home playoff factor? Home field advantage. My experience, Jimmy and I were both at one point, at different points in our lives, and probably at overlapping times in both of our lives, both season ticket holders for the Philadelphia Union. The only time they've made the playoffs in our lives, they went out and they lost at home. So soccer, the home field, the idea of home field advantage doesn't always translate in soccer. It doesn't always translate in every sport, to be fair. How big in a single game knockout situation is home field, Jimmy?
Yeah, of course, what you're saying, I mean, anything can happen in a single game, but I think the home team always really has the advantage, and especially with our setup and our crowd and our fans, I think we have a much bigger advantage than most teams in the USL. So getting this third place and getting a home playoff game isn't the number one priority, and it will give us definitely a big advantage going into the playoffs. I mean, not a lot of teams are used to coming and playing in front of 20,000+ fans. So at this point of the season, it's something we've been lucky to be used to. And a lot of these teams, I mean, they don't know what to expect when they come here. This is nerve-wracking for teams and something they're not used to. So we've come accustomed to it, and I think it's a big advantage for us.
Very good insight. This guy's incredibly well-spoken, isn't he? All five of our loyal listeners tonight. A reminder, you can check this podcast out on our website. We get these posted within a few days after the show. It's a big weekend. It's a busy weekend in Cincinnati sports. I know last week we had the audio from episode number one posted by Monday. Still very timely. I know we're talking Orlando City tonight. That's for you five right here. For your consumption. I'm looking out for you guys. But definitely check out the audio on Monday. Why don't we take... Everyone hear me okay? All right, there we go. Audio's back. Jimmy, one of the cool interactions I had, we were fortunate with Cincinnati.com and Inquirer Media to get to cover a few road games for you guys this year. The first one we did was the second road game of the year at Bethlehem. I had a chance to run into your family in the parking lot before the game. Absolutely beautiful people. Their love and affection for you is it comes across so clearly, and I think it's so great that they've been able to follow you around to different games and everything they've done to support you. I know they've been out for a few games in Cincinnati. I wanted to publicly issue an apology to your grandfather. And I'm sure this is something you're aware of. I'm sure it's something your parents are aware of. Your grandfather emailed me. Incredible that he's up on email, by the way, because I know my grandparents aren't or wouldn't have been. But he emailed me. He wanted copies of the May 15th Inquirer Sports section, the one with you, sealed with a kiss. Remember? I told him I would do it, and by God, I got so busy the next week, I never did it. And here we are, it's mid-September, and I still haven't done it. So I owe your grandfather a sincere apology. I owe everyone in the McLaughlin family a sincere apology. I will dive into our archives on Monday morning and go searching. I'll scuba dive through all our old crusty papers, and I will find that thing, and I will make sure your grandfather gets it. It was, thank you, Mr. What, is that the McLaughlin side of the family?
I'm pretty sure that's my mom's.
Okay.
Schlegel side.
Okay, Schlegel?
Yeah.
Mr. Schlegel, I apologize. We're going to get you a copy of that sports section. I know what it means to you having met you before the Bethlehem Steel game. Talk about your parents and your Philly roots, Jimmy. It's something you and I share. I think Jimmy and I grew up probably a couple miles away from each other. We missed each other by a few years in terms of playing in high school. I'm probably better off for it. Would have beaten and bloodied me to a pulp, so I'm glad I never had to see this guy on the field. But tell us a little bit about your Philly roots, because that's something you and I share, and then I'm going to pick your brain about the Philly to Cincinnati transition.
Yeah, I mean, I love Philadelphia. Spent my whole life in the western suburbs of Philadelphia in Malvern, so went to Great Valley High School. Had a great soccer experience there with my all-time favorite coach, Dave Moffitt. He's taught me a lot in all aspects of life and soccer, and has really helped me take soccer and just how I act and carry myself to the next level. So, yeah, I mean, growing up there has been amazing. I've got a lot of local family with a lot of cousins, and my mom's parents live there, and my dad's parents live about an hour and a half north in Scranton, so all my family was close, and it makes for a really special place for me. So having them not too super far away, being able to make a couple trips out here, it's been great. And they've been able to come to the games in New York and Bethlehem and kind of the ones that are in close distance. So it's a really special place to me, and every time I go back, it always feels right, and it's always something that I enjoy doing.
That first Bethlehem game, I noted in my game story, and I talked to you about it afterward. I thought you played, I mean, just speaking objectively, anyone would say you played a fantastic game against, and Bethlehem, for those of you, I'm sure all five of our fans here, it's the lower league affiliate of the Philadelphia Union, Jimmy's former organization. And I asked you in the locker room that day what it meant to you, and you were very professional, very respectful, because the Philadelphia Union obviously gave you a great opportunity, and I'm sure you have a lot of great memories from being with that organization. But how freaking sweet did it feel to go into Bethlehem and really rather dunked on them that game? You didn't score, but you did everything else, and then to go and take the season series from Bethlehem, that has to feel good. And even if you say it doesn't, we know you're lying.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Philadelphia and the whole organization. I mean, they gave me an incredible opportunity and the start to my professional career, so I'm still a fan of the team, and I still watch all the games and kind of keep close tabs on them. So of course it feels great when you get to play against your former organization in a sense, and you get to get the result against them. I mean, I don't think I can't lie. I mean, of course that feels great. And scoring the goal at home here to beat them was also incredible. So Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of respect for the team, and I really enjoy watching them play, and they're having an incredible season. And, yeah, I got no hard feelings. I mean, they've done a lot for me and helped me a lot as a player.
You know, one of the themes that I come back to with FC Cincinnati, just every time I sit down in the press box and every time I'm typing up a game preview and I'm looking at the roster, it's the FC Cincinnati roster. It is riddled with guys who have had MLS experience, some like yourself, very notable experiences in the MLS, high draft selections, appearances in Open Cup games, which I know maybe you and I and our friends here are the only people that value that in the city of Cincinnati. But it seems to be a common thread, not just with FC Cincinnati, but across USL, an MLS experience factor. And I think with the addition of Casey Townsend, it's now 11 or 12 guys on FC Cincinnati that have MLS experience. How much of a do you guys talk about that at all? And is it a motivating factor to get back there? And is it something that the 11, 12, 13, however many of you there are on FC Cincinnati with MLS experience, is it something you can use to push each other and say, like, hey, look, we know what it takes. We've been there. Let's help each other get back there. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Try to yell over the hand dryer in our suboptimal studio here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge advantage to have a lot of guys who have played in MLS and know what that level's like. I think it brings a lot of professionalism to the club, and we kind of all hold ourselves to a higher standard because we know what the practices are like and what it takes to be at that level. So, I mean, of course, if you're a player in the United States, a soccer player in the United States, you want to play at the highest level. Everyone's striving to play in MLS, so... I think having a lot of guys with the experience in MLS helps push everybody on the team to hold themselves accountable, to always stay at that high standard rather than slipping. So, yeah, I think it's a massive advantage, and it's been really great for the team and great for us as an organization.
Jimmy's a very nice guy, very giving of his time tonight, and I don't want to – yeah, give it up for Jimmy. And I certainly don't want to I don't like putting guys on the spot without some kind of advance warning. That, to me, is paramount for in journalism, integrity. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm going to put you on the spot here. Fumi will come ream me out tomorrow, the club's PR manager. But is that a goal for you? Do you want to get back to MLS?
Yeah, I mean, I think – every player on the team wants to play in MLS. I think every player playing in USL wants to play in MLS. And I don't think there's any shame about anyone saying that. I mean, we're all going to do everything possible we can to help our club and help FC Cincinnati. And in a perfect world, FC Cincinnati gets an MLS bid, and we all play for FC Cincinnati in MLS. Yeah! So, I mean, that's the goal. And that should be the goal of everybody in the USL, to be honest. I mean, everybody should strive to play at the highest level and do the best they possibly can. So, yeah, I mean, that is my objective. I hope it's here with FC Cincinnati, and I'm going to do everything possible to make the team as successful as they can be and get them to that level and get the attention of Don Garber and MLS. Yeah.
And if you've been reading Cincinnati.com, you know Don Garber is watching Cincinnati quite intently. He had some comments at where was he talking? Great, I didn't do my research. Now I sound like an idiot up here. But he spoke recently. He spoke. Thank you. At the U.S. Open Cup in Dallas. Very good. Very good knowledge from our audience here tonight. And he spoke again about MLS expansion. And now it's just Cincinnati's just another. It's no longer a shock when he mentions them. They're just part of the conversation now, and hopefully they can become elevate their status within that conversation in time. Jimmy, I want to ask you about that, and to whatever extent you're able to comment on it, we don't want to get you in trouble. Don't want the club to say, as an agent of the club, we don't want you to say anything that would get you or the team in trouble. But what has that experience been like watching the club try to crack into MLS, because it's something that's very much out of your control, right? you know, maybe to some extent on-field results add to the case, but a lot of it is business related. A lot of it is up to the TV market, something that is quite frankly set in stone before Jeff Burden, Carl Leonard III, or yourself and John Harkes and all the other players. It's something that's been out of your control from before you even got here and knew this project was getting off the ground. But what do you feel like any part of that process, do you feel like you have control or a say in any part of that process? And what's that been like? Because I guess mostly you've been watching. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, of course we all hear the rumblings and we see all the articles written and the press overseas covering us. I mean, we're not naive to the fact that people are talking about us, and we've created a huge buzz, and the support's been incredible. And I think the best thing that we can do to help the club is to go out there and play the best we can and try to win the league. I mean, that's our objective. We're not just trying to be a team that makes the playoffs. We want to be a team that's gonna bring home the trophy at the end of the year. I mean, that's been our goal since day one. So I think in terms of us controlling it, we can't do anything else than get good results on the field and bring home the USL Championship. I think that's what we can do as players. So the support's been incredible, and I think that's a major thing that MLS is looking at, and the atmosphere here is on par with every MLS club, if not better. I mean, it's unbelievable. No one can deny that. So, I mean, we're just focusing on the games and doing everything we can to put the best result on the field.
Very good. I wouldn't even say that was political. We got a real answer there from Jimmy McLaughlin. One of the things I love about working with these guys, with FC Cincinnati, such a great group to work with, always honest, always forthright, and you don't get a lot of that that filtered crap that you get from a lot of pro athletes. So another thing to love about this club. We have a little segment that we call Extra Time Hot Seat. I'm going to put Jimmy on the spot, a bunch of questions. And then maybe we'll I'm still mulling over the possibility of an open mic here for our – all right. Apparently we got good questions, so all right. We also – hey, fellas, keep in mind we also have the buttons to edit. I don't know if that actually empowers you, if that empowers you to ask more ridiculous questions or – but all right, Extra Time Hot Seat. We will ask Jimmy for some quick answers to some biting questions. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
I'm not holding back, brother. This is
bring it on.
All right, let's go. All right, Extra Time Hot Seat. Question one. Jimmy, if you could choose, first of all, you guys live over at an apartment complex in Oakley. Dan McNally will note that from a story that I wrote, I didn't include the name of that to protect your guys' security. Look at these insane fans you have. No. Do you have a roommate?
Two roommates.
Yeah. Who are they?
Harrison Delbridge and Sean Coley.
That's a man, that's a happening spot. Is that where everyone hangs out?
Yeah, I'd say it's the hub of the apartment complex.
The crack spot. Okay. If you could choose your roommates for next year, would you cut Harrison or Sean Coley?
Nah, we keep the dream team together, for sure.
All right, when you are out on the town, because as we all know, even beautifully sculpted pro athletes like Jimmy McLaughlin need to go out and let rip every now and then. Come on, relax. When you do go out, Jimmy, favorite spot in Cincinnati other than Ryan House?
Love Ryan House, great spot. Let's make sure we give a shout out to Ryan House, yeah. My second favorite spot behind Ryan House, of course, is probably Neons. Neons in the summer. Outside, you get the big Jenga. See some FC Cincinnati shirts there. It's a good spot. We'd like to hang out there.
Great answer. I'm actually partial to Neons myself. I would be hiding in the corner, whereas Jimmy, Sean Nicole, and Harrison Delbridge would be the life of the party. Of the coaches that you have enjoyed, I will ask you, could you pick out a favorite? And if not a favorite coach, maybe the most impactful coach you've had?
Are we talking like all time?
All time.
Most impactful and favorite, Dave Moffitt, my Great Valley soccer coach. I mean, become more than a coach to me. I mean, he's been a mentor and a lifelong friend. So I have a great relationship with him. I mean, I still talk to him all the time, and he gives me a lot of feedback on my game. And he's great just to kind of mess around with and talk to as well. So he is my favorite coach.
That's beautiful. Reds or Phillies?
Not much to choose from, but Phillies. Phillies.
Can we edit that out? And,
yeah, we can use the edit buttons for Jimmy's answers, too. Forget journalistic integrity. Eagles or Bengals?
Bengals.
That's a lie. You know that's a lie. Favorite? Did you have a favorite college basketball, like in Cincinnati, actually, one of the parallels that we have between Cincinnati and Philadelphia? They love their college basketball in Philadelphia. For everyone that's – I'm gonna send this out to every media guy I know back home, Jimmy. Who is your favorite college basketball program back in Philly?
Easily Villanova. Got to be the number one.
You're a front runner, man. Are you kidding me? No. Why Villanova?
I mean, Villanova's like 10 minutes from my house at home, and I mean, we've been cheering for them since I was 5 years old, so now everyone's saying I'm a front runner, but trust me, I've been there when they've choked in the tournament several times.
And they have choked a lot in the tournament. Okay, cheesesteak or Coney dog?
Cheesesteak, easy.
Sorry. And in the great Philadelphia cheesesteak debate, which cheesesteak joint in the city? I'm sure you know of a great place in the suburbs. Everyone seems to. Favorite place in the city?
I'm going to say Jim's. Jim's on South Street.
Great answer. Yeah. Great answer. That's also my favorite. All right. Without, he says. Actually, that's a bad answer. All right. We're going to get into the tough stuff now. Your favorite to I know you'd say FC Cincinnati if I asked you your favorite to come out of the East in the USL. Your favorite to come out of the West. I don't know how much time you get to look at the Western Conference or USL. Is there a team you like to come out of the West?
Favorite team in the Western Conference or USL?
The team you would expect to emerge from the Eastern Conference and advance to the USL title game. That FC Cincinnati will then play.
Jeez.
Do you get a lot of time?
I mean, we watch some of the games. Yeah. I mean, mostly we pay attention to the East because we don't play – we play only St. Louis is the only team from the West we've played. But I'd say Sacramento is always a team to watch out for. I mean, they have a history of being a strong club. And I played against Sacramento in the USL Final in 2014 with the Harrisburg City Islanders. So got a little bit of a revenge factor with them. So I'd say Sacramento.
All right. And last question. It's a particularly biting one. Everyone knows that MLS and U.S. soccer, pretty much up and down the pyramid structure of leagues, we don't talk about contracts. It's against the rules for players, everyone to talk about that stuff. But it begs the question, you know, you are a regular in the starting lineup, Jimmy, for FC Cincinnati. A lot of people will want to see you come back next year. Will you be in Cincinnati next year?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I'll have conversations with the coaches at the end of the year and see where they're at. I mean, but yeah, I mean, I want to be back in Cincinnati and I want to help this team get to the top.
Very good political answer. Okay, that's it. Jimmy's off the hot seat. Well done, Jimmy. Do you want to open this up? Do an open mic? Take three questions maybe?
We got one.
All right, come on up. Introduce yourself.
Oh, God.
Hello. Hello, my name is Tim. My question for Jimmy is, have you ever had a song before coming to Cincinnati, and how awesome is it to have a song here?
Great question, yeah. I did have a song in Philadelphia, but it's nowhere. No, I barely heard it, trust me. I only heard it like once every year, pretty much. So, so the song at Cincinnati is way better, and it's awesome to hear the fans singing it. It's something really special and something that I love. I mean, it's a pretty cool thing for sure.
Oh, yeah. All right. Good stuff.
Thanks, Pat. Long-time listener, first-time caller. My name's Jono. Jimmy, I'm curious. With, I think it was first Corbin Bone and Ross Tomaselli, and now you with the beautiful blonde hair.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? Why is that influenced by Lionel Messi, by chance?
It's something we were talking about for a while, actually. Me and Ross were supposed to be the first two to do it, and to be honest, I kind of chickened out and backed out initially, and then Corbin and Ross went ahead to do it, and I had a haircut scheduled with Corbin's girlfriend, Annie, who does incredible work. I show up there, not expecting anyone else to be there, and I get bombarded by Corbin, Ross, and Harrison, and they did a good job convincing me to finally join the club, and next thing you know, an hour and a half later, I'm part of the Blonde Club, so that's kind of how it all went down. We call ourselves the Bash Bros, so.
That is so lame. No, you know, my fear was a lot of this stuff. Now, did Messi have the blonde hair for a Copa?
After it.
Okay. My fear was that you guys all started doing this around the time the Ryan Lochte stuff was happening. I thought maybe he was like your sick idol. I was concerned about... concerned about the well-being of our FC Cincinnati players. Any other questions from the audience? All right. Yeah. All right. Hey, sports editor / FC Cincy Beat podcast, Jason Hoffman has one.
So Pat and I were watching the Champions League opener between Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain. Did you notice the guy who got the assist on the first goal for Cavani is an awkward French I don't even know if he's French, but he's an awkward doppelganger for Okoli.
Really?
Yeah.
Pull it up, Pat. Show him.
Well,
this is great podcasting right here.
It's true. It's an incredible likeness. I'll get that photo to Jimmy ASAP. Any other questions? One more? All right. No.
Jono again. Jimmy, do you follow or have a particular favorite, like EPL team or any other just team from a big league around the world?
FC Barcelona is my favorite team and the team that I follow the most. Yeah, of course, front runner, right? Yeah, I always get it. But, yeah, I mean, I love watching them play. I love their style of play. Of course, I love Messi and the Trident, Neymar and Suarez. It's a bunch of guys that I try to learn from and try to emulate and pick up little things from them. So, yeah, they're my favorite team to watch, and been following them for a long time now.
Nice. Good answer. Love it.
All right. What do you say? We've had a nice long run here with Jimmy. Oh, all right. Let's take her home. We want to thank our gracious host at Ryan House for again hosting us. It is, in my opinion, the quintessential Cincinnati soccer bar. We're so great to be here every time. You guys are fantastic hosts. Thank you. And I'm sure this place will be bumping tomorrow. EPL. Get here. It's always bumping. That's right. But get here early. I understand if you don't get here in time, you do not get in for EPL. So get here early. Thank you to Jason Hoffman, Inquirer Sports Editor, the FC Cincy Beat podcast. And thank you to everyone for coming out. I am Pat Brennan. Ah, yes. If you want to follow more, I'll be tweeting out the audio from this from my Twitter account, as well as the Inquirer Sports account. That's at ENQ Sports and at P Brennan, BRENNANENQ. Jimmy, you want to share your Twitter handle? Get your followers up?
Yeah, for sure. I would share my Instagram handle, too, if I didn't get hacked the other week. So bye-bye Instagram for now. But my Twitter is at J_McLaughlin III, representing the third, of course. But thought I'd just clarify that for the listeners. Throw me some follows.
Now, Jimmy is one of the better follows on FC Cincinnati. And I'm looking for the At Ryan House OTR. If you can't spell Ryan House, you ain't cool. You don't belong here. At Ryan House OTR. Check them out, too, on Twitter. Thank you again to my producer and sports editor, Jason Hoffman. I have been Pat Brennan. This has been Jimmy McLaughlin. You guys have been fantastic. FC Cincinnati takes on Orlando City.